Chapter 2. Carter. 31 is too young to be jaded, but the fact that the only thing I find fascinating in this entire art gallery is a woman whose body language is screaming how much she doesn't want to be here is proof I've spent the past 6 years descending slowly into apathy. I'm actually relieved to feel a spark of interest in anything related to art. Watching her look at the paintings as if they might be a secret portal for an alien invasion is like that first breath of clean air that comes when you step outside of a bowling alley or a club or even a crowded restaurant that hasn't been properly vented. She'd entered with three blonde women, but I wasn't certain she knew them because they'd immediately dispersed about the gallery like seasoned professionals. They knew who to greet, wore expressions of proper enthrallment, and were clearly as on display as the artwork. Given how the youngest blonde just pulled the brunette through the gallery, though, they are closely acquainted. My mind churns with even more questions and possible scenarios. There are always people who don't want to be at a showing, exhibit, or gallery, but they're usually capable of hiding their displeasure. I can't remember the last time I enjoyed one, but no one but me is aware of that. She, however, either doesn't know how to properly channel her less-than-impressed reaction, or she doesn't care. The third, and possibly more interesting option, is that she thinks she's hiding it, but she disapproves so much it can't be contained. Does she not like the art, or the people who came out to look at it? It's impossible to tell, as she seems to be wishing herself away from everything in the room. I can't blame her for wanting to get away from Richie. Somewhere along the line, the man decided to develop the personality of a fortune cookie. She stands out from the carefully directed spotlights, thoughtfully arranged paintings, and swarming mass of art connoisseurs. It isn't so much her attire as it is the way she seems disconnected from the crowd's core commonality. I'm transfixed. My fingers itch to paint it, to find a way to convey the idea I'm seeing to others. Should I use people? Perhaps animals would create a better depiction of the idea. A dog among a bunch of cats, or a chicken being herded along with the pigs going to slaughter. No. Not that last one. It needs to be something the larger group as a whole would actually want to be doing.
The turnout is fantastic.
Frank, the gallery owner, steps into the shadowy alcove where I've been lurking all evening and interrupts my mental sketching. Your concern over having a large opening like this for a solo showing was understandable. I clap my hand on his shoulder and give it a squeeze. All the parties involved should be happy, though. I'm glad. He elbows me in the ribs with a grin.
Thanks for coming tonight, even if we ended up not needing the push.
You took a similar chance on me, and that paid off. I owe you. 10 years ago, Frank had been the first one to believe in me, giving me a solo showing much like this one. I don't sell my work through his gallery anymore, but he remains in my life as something even more important. A friend.
All the same, I know this isn't your normal scene anymore.
We all have to play the game some, whether we want to or not. I slide my hands into the pockets of my trousers and look around the gallery. This isn't your normal acquisition. Frank blows out a long breath.
It was a risk, but I need the gallery to gain a broader reputation.
His expression turns pleased as one of his employees quietly places a discreet sold marker next to one of the name plaques.
It looks like it's going to pay off. We even had the art critic from the Gazette in here at the beginning, gathering quotes for a write-up.
Congratulations. My gaze slides to the brunette, drawn by a pull I can resist only so long, even while conversing with a friend. She seems to curl in on herself, even as the blonde clinging to Richie's arm seems to grow bouncier. Talking to Richie is an exercise in discombobulation, and the bored, aloof mannerisms he cultivated after selling his first five-figure painting make him unapproachable. Promise me something, Frank?
Yeah?
I nod toward the grouping that now includes Richie's agent, Greg. If I ever become that absorbed in my own success, shove me in a lake.
Gladly.
Frank winces as he looks across the room.
I'm still not certain if he expects to get his portion of the sales as a check or a truckload of watermelons.
The bounty of creative harvest? Frank chuckles.
You've heard it before?
I nod. Once, it was memorable. Frank's smile remains as he steps away from me.
I need to mingle. It doesn't look like I need you to make the rounds, so feel free to slip out the back if you want to.
He gives me a small salute and returns to work in the crowd. 20 minutes ago, I'd have already had my keys in hand and my feet halfway out the door, but now I can't quite bring myself to abandon the first real inspiration I found in longer than I care to remember.
She'd likely find it creepy if she knew I was standing here, watching her, but she'll never know.
Despite my hyper-realistic style of painting, I never depict actual places or people. I create scenes that represent an idea or a concept, such as a lone person standing among a group of admirers asking why they are all enthralled. Meeting her would likely destroy the illusion, but watching for a few more moments won't hurt. The various body languages from the small grouping of people are giving me idea after idea. Should I do a series of paintings depicting people out of step with the world around them? My brain floods with exciting ideas to put into my sketchbook when I return home. Any of them will be better than the meaningless perspective paintings I've been putting out just to stay active in the art world. Greg adjusts his suit coat and shifts his weight to his toes. He is excited to meet the brunette, while she's tossed at least 5 furtive glances at the door, as if she's merely looking for an excuse to leave. Eventually, Greg turns and gestures to a table of artfully laid out hors d'oeuvres. For the first time all evening, the brunette shows a glimmer of enthusiasm. Greg puts the requisite 3 items on his tiny plate and proceeds to ignore them as he talks. I sampled a few items before the doors opened, and he is missing out on some delectable food. She seems determined not to miss out, though, as she takes 2 of everything until her tiny plate is filled just beyond what could be considered polite. After biting a small fruit tart in half, she gives Greg a small nod of attention and glances from the watch on her wrist to the door. The softly glowing face of her watch makes me wince. I accept the benefits of modern technology. At this moment, a cell phone is resting in the pocket of my sport coat. It's last year's model, too, not a minimalistic flip phone. It's also turned off. Harsh lights and graphics don't belong in a gallery setting where they would distract and detract from whatever connection the art is making with the viewers. I tilt my head and consider her. Is that why she dislikes the painting so much? Does she need her art to dance and beep and burn her retinas? Her foot is now pointing toward the exit and her smile is tight. Everything about her begs for a rescue. Before I can think about it, I step out of the shadow and make my way across the room. This urge is nonsensical. I am an observer of human nature, not a knight in shining or even slightly tarnished armor. It's not as if she's in danger. Greg likes to collect controversial artists who create conversation pieces, but he isn't a bad guy. Maybe it's because the emotion she displayed earlier, even if unwittingly, is now blocked behind a polite, stony facade. Maybe it's because I want to know if there's more to the picture that I'm not seeing. More to her that can inspire me. Whatever the reason, it's compelling enough to have me crossing the room. I move slowly and keep my face averted from the other attendees. No one notices me until I'm passing the corner where Richie has stationed himself, as if he too is an art installation.
Mr. Anderson,
he says in the monotone he's adopted for this public persona. The art world is too small for me to outright ignore him, so I give a small nod of greeting. Mr. Reynolds? The pretentious formality of the exchange nearly makes me roll my eyes, as if we've never met before. 5 years ago, he attended one of my hyperrealism workshops. He'd been Richard then, and I'd been Carter, and there'd been no indication what direction he wanted to take his, talents.
I didn't realize you'd been invited,
Richie drones. Is he worried my presence will decrease the value of his work, or concerned people will think I had a hand in making tonight a success? As the plan is for no one to see me aside from Greg and the brunette, I hope to avoid anyone making a public connection between myself and Richie. Frank is a friend of mine. Hopefully that connection is enough to tell him I'm not here for him as either fan or critic. He nods slowly before shifting his gaze up toward the corner.
A friend will pull favors in the pursuit of greatness.
What? How can I respond to that? His gaze drifts back down, but never quite meets mine.
Favors are not necessary. I have great respect for your abilities. If you wish to observe my methods, I could arrange a time for you to come by my studio.
I glance at a painting of an abstract car atop a gracefully running horse. Such a unique style could never be emulated. Nor would I want to try. The horse is decent. If he wanted to, he could make a decent living selling paintings of such quality, particularly if he took on portrait commissions. Does he care more for notoriety than financial stability? Or does he truly think his work is that exceptionally groundbreakingly brilliant?
Is this a friend of yours, Richie?
The blonde sends a beaming smile my way before gazing adoringly up at Richie.
A colleague, Richie answers. The elevation of greatness is a hill far too difficult for friendship to climb.
And that is about all of that I can take for an evening. With any luck, the blonde will read between the lines there and learn Richie wants nothing from her but arm candy. Congratulations on a good opening, I say with a smile and a nod for both of them. Please excuse me. There's someone I need to speak with. I stroll away, leaving Richie to tell the woman how I fear I will fade away as I bask in his glow or some other such nonsense. Redoubling my effort to draw no attention, I make my way to the food table. Fame isn't something I deal with on a regular basis, but here I stand a high chance of being recognized. I would rather not have my name attached to Richie's if I can help it. I slide a plate from the stack and busy myself with placing a tiny sandwich, 3 grapes, and a cookie on top of it. Slowly, I ease into the space where Greg and the brunette are standing at the end of the table. Though I am a constant student of human nature and body language, it is possible I have misread the situation. She might be perfectly happy spending an evening with Greg, though if she is, I'll have to question everything I thought I'd observed earlier. Good evening. I give them each a nod as I reach for a fruit tart. Greg's eyes widen slightly, but his professional demeanor quickly slides into place.
Carter, what a surprise. Richie's having a splendid night.
An answer from me is unnecessary as Greg falls into a one-sided discussion about art patrons and pieces sold, and the upcoming write-up in the newspaper from the nearby city. What he's not doing is introducing me to the brunette. Intentional slight or just poor manners? She's frowning down as she pokes at the cookie on the edge of her plate, so I lean close to her and whisper, "It's a palmier." Her frown turns my way, and I can make out details that weren't available to me from across the room. Her makeup has clearly been applied by an expert hand, but it hasn't been touched up. The lip color is now uneven, as if no care was taken to reapply it after dinner. The cookie. I nod to her plate and lift my own cookie as if in a toast. It's a palmier.
Interesting.
She slides the cookie to the other side of her small plate.
I tried one earlier.
A portion of another cookie lies beneath a fruit tart. Did you not care for it?
Why do you ask?
She looks up from her plate, and blue eyes briefly meet my gaze before shifting to Greg. The brief connection slams into me, and the urge to find a pencil and sketchpad burns through my chest. I'll even take a ballpoint pen and a cocktail napkin. For the first time in months, I can see a painting in my mind. Darkness and shadows with mere streaks of light to show the details. I'd remove all the makeup from her face, but her clothing would become finer, fancier, the kind of dress worn to galas and shown off for the press. There'd be jewels winking in the darkness. I'd give her every trapping that normally catches people's attention, but it would all fade as the viewer is captivated by her eyes. Bright, blue, glowing depths that would make it impossible to look anywhere else. Greg leans in until his shoulder brushes against mine.
Carter, you know better than to question a lady's eating choices.
Likely, hopefully, the agent means for the whispered admonishment to go no farther than my ears, but the brunette obviously hears. I don't know how she interprets the statement, but her eyes narrow, and she glares at Greg as she shoves the entire cookie into her mouth. I can't say anything. If I do, laughter over the way she is attempting to cover her clear revulsion while managing her overly full mouth will spill out. Someone is not a fan of cinnamon palmiers. She's even less a fan of Greg, at least at the moment. Her eyes dart about as she chews. Greg snags a flute of champagne and offers it to her, but her face twists as if she is considering spitting the cookie into the pale, bubbly liquid instead of drinking it. I don't blame her. Alcohol is a terrible choice for washing down unwanted food, unless a person also wants to be dry-mouthed and tipsy. Setting my plate on a nearby table, I gesture to the back of the room and the shadows I'd recently been inhabiting. If I may, there are bottles of water in the employee lounge. Those bright blue eyes meet mine once more, this time with an emotion I can't pinpoint. Regret? Gratitude? Concern? Her neck convulses through a series of quick swallows before she sets her plate beside mine and chokes out,
"Please."
Right this way. I swing my arm out in a grand invitation. Greg pats her awkwardly on the shoulder.
I'll go speak to some people until you come back.
Her tight smile makes me think she has no intention of returning, and I plan to assist her with that goal. Now that I've interacted with her, I need to know more about her. My motives are admittedly self-serving, but I'm certain every rescuer of distressed damsels is motivated at least a little by a selfish reason. I lead her to the darkened portion of the gallery and push open a door marked Employees Only. She follows without pause, and soon we're in the more practical section of the building where all the business actually gets done. A handful of workstations are positioned to our left, and beyond them sits a cluster of couches near a credenza boasting an empty silver platter and a single cup coffee maker. I lead her through the room and down a short hall into the break room. The dark flecked white tile, small brown formica table, three armless blue chairs, standard white fridge and cream-colored counter with a metal sink and a rack of mismatched coffee mugs are far more office building than elegant gallery. Will her demeanor change along with the atmosphere? I pull two bottles of water from the fridge and extend one in her direction. She nearly snatches it from my hand and twists it open. She gulps down half the contents while I slowly sip from the second bottle. Finally, her eyes slide closed, and she sighs in grateful bliss. Such elemental enjoyment of something as plain as a bottle of water is a strange idea to me. Does she have strong feelings about everything? Richie's art is horrific, bottled water is blissful, etc.
Thank you.
She sighs.
Those cookies were disgusting.
I can no longer resist the urge to laugh. Noted.
You didn't make them, did you?
She glances around the break room as if expecting to find an oven and a pile of dirty cookie sheets. No, I'm not a baker. Frank has a standard caterer he uses. She grimaces.
I can't see Richie Reynolds using standard anything.
I take another drink, delaying my response to such a personal statement. Does she know Richie? Have I misread the discomfort? Is it possible she'd been jealous of the blonde woman? Do you—
Thank you.
Her words cut off my question as she flops into one of the armless chairs and sets her almost empty bottle on the small table. You're welcome? We've already discussed the water, so what is she thanking me for now? Rescuing her? That would make a good conversational opening, but before I can take it, she continues.
You probably can't leave me back here alone, can you? If I promise not to touch anything aside from this chair and this bottle of water, could you make an exception? I don't want to keep you from your work, but I just can't go back out there right now.
I can stay.
I promise to leave in—
She glances at her watch.
25 minutes.
Thinking I work here is a logical conclusion. I should correct her, but the last thing I want to do is talk about myself. I already know about me. I lean back against the counter. As it happens, they don't actually need me here tonight. Frank told me I could leave when I was ready. That's a true statement, if a slightly misleading one. The flicker of guilt fades quickly since my chances of seeing this woman again are slim to none. Far stronger is my inexplicably desperate need to understand her better before she slips away into the night. I clear my throat. We can stay hidden for a while. There's even a back exit you can use.
Wonderful.
She pulls out her phone and unlocks it with her thumb. A few taps and several quick swipes of her finger, and she sets the phone aside with a sigh. I can't help but smile. You're that desperate to leave? You've been here barely half an hour. A light pink flush spreads over her cheeks as she considers me.
Were you watching me?
No denying it now. I give a short nod. It was my job to keep an eye on how many people arrived to ensure there was a decent turnout for the event. She laughs.
As if you could magically make more people appear.
I could, actually, but that isn't what I want to talk about. I never want to talk about that. The only part of me that enjoys my little niche corner of fame is my bank account. So you weren't appreciating the showing? With two fingers, she pinches the loose corner of the wrapper on the water bottle and tugs at it, making the bottle crinkle under the slight pressure. She sighs.
I never enjoy art.
Her eyes widen, and she slaps a hand over her mouth. Her voice is muffled as she gasps,
I'm so sorry.
Not just showings, but all art? I've met many a person who only saw merit in particular styles or mediums, but never someone who would willingly sit in the back room of an art gallery and proclaim they didn't care for any of it. Goodbye, curiosity. Hello, obsession.